Hi, this is Father Bill W. here in Austin, Texas, and I want to welcome you to another, I guess what we call these bonus episodes of the podcast. So it's not really part of a series, just kind of an extra thing that I'd like to get the information out there in the world. And so that's what the last one was, one that we did on how to form a prayer partnership. And then this one is going to be on starting a two-way prayer meeting. Probably a lot more to say. Probably maybe could do a whole series on each one of these, but just want to get the information out there. So that's what these podcasts are about. We do have a workshop coming up. I did want to mention that. It is on August the 28th. That is on a Saturday, and it's going to be from 10 o'clock Central Time to 1 p.m. This one's a little bit different. You do have to register for this. It's run by Suwannee Seminary in Tennessee. They're hosting us, and we'll be part of a larger email that they're going to send out. So I thought maybe we'd extend two-way prayer from the usual group of 12 people in 12-step to a broader audience. You can sign up for that, register, go to the events calendar on the Two Way Prayer website, or send me a request and I'll send you the flyer with the information on how to get registered. And let's see. So let's just jump right in, because got a lot to cover here. And in approaching this, I did so with a little bit of trepidation. You know, I've been hearing from a number of people that two-way prayer groups are starting, and I got to be honest, that kind of scares the heck out of me, because I've really kind of fumbled and stumbled my way learning what I think can make for a successful two-way prayer group and what does not. So what I want to do in this podcast is share with you some of the things that I have learned out of my own experience that I think are helpful, or at least I would hope you'd take them into consideration if you're going to be starting a group. And then at the end, after I mentioned this to the group that I conduct every week, if several people would just kind of stay on after the call, we do our meeting on Zoom, and just share some of their reflections on what the group has meant to them. So we're going to be tacking that on to the end of this this podcast. Two or three things that were really guiding me as I approached this, and it actually came up in my two-way prayer writing from this morning, knowing that I was going to be doing this podcast. And one was to remember the important quote from Frank Amos. And Frank Amos was the secretary to J.D. Rockefeller Jr. Bill Wilson was trying to get money out of the Rockefeller Foundation. And he sent Amos to study why he and Dr. Bob were being successful in New York and in Akron and also in Cleveland, why they were being successful in treating alcoholism when so many other approaches had failed. And I remember, the first time I read his report when I started studying this material, and the thing that just jumped out at me was his report saying that meetings were helpful for people in who were recovering from alcoholism under this process. Meetings were helpful, but prayer and meditation were a must. And that just shocked the heck out of me. You know, I had been brought up on meetings. And so my guess is, are most of you listening to this? And in the beginning, it wasn't so. In the beginning, the focus was on prayer and meditation. Those were musts. Meetings were helpful. And, you know, so when people start hearing about two-way prayer, the immediate reaction, I think, is, well, let's start a meeting around this. And this is where some caution lights go on in my head, that if you're not doing the prayer and the meditation individually, to get together as a group and start doing the process can really lead to some chaos. Maybe that's not too strong a word, maybe it is, but because I've heard of groups that start up and then they get into trouble and then they go away. And I think the reason is the folks who were starting them up were perhaps not ready to start them up, not guided to start them up, and not committed to staying with them. So there is, I think, a process that you go through, need to go through before you get to starting a group. So that was one quote. The second thing that came to my mind was something that James Houck told me. And he was the guy who was a member of the Oxford group, stayed sober, lived to be well over 100, and got sober the day after Bill Wilson got sober. He got sober in the Oxford group, stayed sober in the Oxford group. And then later in life, he started going around the country talking about the connection of the Oxford group and early AAs to this thing called two-way prayer. And I went to visit James in his home, and he said something that really rocked me, and it was that two-way prayer is all about the four absolutes. And so that needs to be one focus of the two-way prayer group that you're starting. It is to go deeper and deeper into the four absolutes. That this is really what we are aiming at. A little hidden, you know, Bill Wilson said he put them into steps 6 and 7. So while this is, yes, focused on prayer and meditation, it's also focused on living the absolutes as a way of life. Rigorous honesty, unselfishness, purity, love. This is transformation. And so the two-way prayer practice is about listening to that inner voice to help me become those things that I want to become: more loving, more honest, more pure, more unselfish. I want to get over the egotism that is at the heart of everybody who struggles with recovery and with the spiritual journey. So keep that in mind. The third thing was a focus on Sam Shoemaker. And Shoemaker was the Episcopal priest who helped Bill Wilson. So many of his writings really appear in the big book. He was Bill's spiritual mentor. And one of the things that Shoemaker genuinely pioneered was the development of small groups. He said that that's where the transformation is going to happen. That's where the change is going to happen. That it's necessary to find a small group, to participate in a small group, to be faithful to it. And I think we've gotten away from that. If you're going to meetings which are, 50, 100 people, it's fine for listening to someone tell his or her story, but I think you're going to lose some of the intimacy that can only be found in a small group. And the same with the vulnerability that I think recovery requires for us. So Shoemaker was really, really big on that. And I think that's a factor to hold in mind if you're going to be starting a small group or a two-way prayer group, is to limit it in numbers. If you go beyond 8, 10, maybe 12 at the most, hoping that 3 or 4 are not going to show on a particular weekday, that's about the number. And if you get into 20, 30, 40, you're never going to achieve that intimacy or that accountability or that level of dedication. And that's what the Oxford Group people did. You know, they had small teams that worked together, prayed together, eventually went all around the world together, helping to change people. Because one other thing that I do want to stress in the focus on two-way prayer groups is that eventually you need to move beyond the group, where you can get awfully comfortable in a group. And while that's important and helpful, I think there comes a time, maybe after a year or 2 years, when it is time for someone to leave the group and go out and start another group. And this is very much what happened in Oxford Group and in early AA as well. You know, someone would get sober in Akron, but they lived in Detroit or Chicago, and they would send them on their way, you know, after they kind of learned the process, began their recovery. Then it is outreach to the other people who are out there waiting. And I think that's exactly what's going on with two-way prayer, that that you're moving and seeing where God is guiding you, both individually in terms of your own recovery, uncovering, discovering the things that are going on inside that I need to get honest and clean up. And then, where is God guiding me in my life? What's he asking of me? So with that in mind, I'm just going to kind of run through the format that we use for our meetings. I think this could be helpful, and I'll just make some comments as I go along with this. So I think it's about 10 or 11 people in our group. We meet via Zoom once a week, and so here's the format that we use. And I will put a copy of this, a link to it in the program notes. It's on the Two Way Prayer website. If you can't get a hold of it, just shoot me a note at twowayprayer@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to send you a copy. So the leader, and we rotate leadership generally each week, so that people are learning how to become a leader. My name is blank, and I'll be your leader for today's meeting. Let's open our meeting with a moment of silence, followed by a volunteer reading the we version of the original Serenity Prayer. Have a moment of silence. The we version, because this is not just about me. This is about us. And so I think you can take that Serenity Prayer and add the we to it, and it really deepens it and changes it, and I think in some ways perhaps improves it. So God grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as the pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is, not as we would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if we surrender to your will, so we will be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen. Then a volunteer reads the preamble. And this is what we came up with in our group over the years. My name is blank, and this is our preamble. Our two-way prayer group is open to any and all who struggle with addiction. Our addictions include alcohol, drugs, nicotine, food, sex and relationships, gambling, shopping, worrying, work, and lying, to list but a few. We attempt to follow the original program of Alcoholics Anonymous, including the four absolutes of the Oxford Group that were later formulated into the 12-step program. So I encourage people not to do a meeting as part of an AA or an OA or a CA fellowship, but to do it on the side, do it outside of the group, doesn't mean you move away from those programs. Each and every one of us who's, you know, we're all members of 12-step fellowships and intend to stay with them. But our two-way prayer group is separate and aside from that. And that just kind of keeps it clean and clear. And, you know, Wilson said AA is a spiritual kindergarten. He loves to see people kind of getting together for study of this, that, and the other thing. And as long as we don't use the AA name or ask for money, we're not going to get in too much trouble. So then the next person would read the four absolutes. And so that goes like this. These are the four absolutes that form the moral and ethical code that Bill Wilson formulated into the 12 steps. And that Dr. Bob said he continued working throughout his life. Absolute honesty. No lying, no cheating, no stealing. In a word, in all your affairs, simply and absolutely no falsehood. Absolute purity, purity of mind, purity of body, purity of the emotions, purity of heart, sexual purity. Absolute unselfishness, seeking what is right and true ahead of what I want in every situation. Absolute love. Loving God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Loving your neighbor as yourself. The absolutes are not claims of attainment, but goals toward which we strive for living a new life free from addiction. When practiced, they become powerful transformers of our conduct, our character, and our consciousness. Some of that language I borrowed from All Addicts Anonymous. It was a group started by Tom Powers, who studied under Bill Wilson. Wilson was his sponsor, and he helped Wilson write the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions book. So he goes way back in AA history and really appreciated the power and the importance of the four absolutes in the 12-step program. Leader adds, then, our group is committed to helping members find a deeper and more personal experience of God through an enhanced practice of the last three steps of the 12-step program. So let me just focus on that for a second. Huh? This is the purpose of this group. It's to help members find a deeper and more personal experience of God. How? Through the last three steps. This is where the focus is now. Rather than going through the 12 steps over and over and over again, I believe that a really intense focus on the last three steps, not just seeing them as maintenance, but as a real a way of life, that in 10, I watch myself very carefully. And when I'm wrong, I admit it. I'm not going to read all the last three steps. You guys know them. But I watch myself inside. I watch myself outside. Power said, if you don't watch, you won't know what the hell to pray for. And if you watch yourself closely, you're going to see yourself slipping, sliding, falling on those four absolutes. I don't know nobody's able to work them. It's not a reason to throw them out. It's a reason to keep them in front of us, that's the goal. And the trick is to settle for progress towards them. And then 11, I do my prayer and my meditation. And I do that on a daily basis. So it's not just getting together once a week and let's sit down for 10 minutes and listen to God and see what God has to say for us, say to us. I don't think that's the purpose of this thing. I think the purpose is to develop a daily practice of prayer and meditation by myself. And then what I do on a weekly basis is I bring one of my selected writings to the group and share with them. And let me tell you, there's going to be some that you're not going to want to share, nor should you. You know, this is very personal, very intimate material that's going to be coming to you through God. You know, it's like your fourth step. I mean, do you bring your fourth step to every meeting you go to and share the stuff that comes up? I don't. I was very selective in who I was going to do that with. And thank God he said, you only have to do this once. You don't have to kind of repeat and re-traumatize yourself. I was carrying my fourth step around for a couple of years. The guy said, burn it, let it go. You know, that's behind you. So, and then 11 is acting on the guidance that I receive, and or not acting, and then sharing with the group how I'm not acting on it. And that's a level of vulnerability as well. The reader would say then, most of us have worked the first 9 steps outside of this group or in other fellowships to which we belong. While we remain focused here on the last 3 steps, we make daily use of the spiritual tools we learned through our other steps. So principles and practices that are present in 1 through 9, yeah, I work those today, and members of the two-way prayer group are working those as well. But we don't go back and focus so much on a step. We've incorporated those into 10, 11, and 12 as a way of life. If there's a newcomer, we have, like many 12-step groups, a newcomer's welcome, and we wrote that. If you're a newcomer to our group, we welcome you with open arms. Please request a newcomer's packet after the meeting. It contains the information needed to help you begin listening to the still small voice that is within each of us. If you come as a skeptic, please know that many of us shared your honest doubts. But we have found that a willingness to live by the 4 standards of honesty, purity, unselfishness, and love, along with a sincere effort to practice two-way prayer, has led us into a new and often transforming relationship with our Creator. The God of our understanding has become the God of our experience. The Creator, who once seemed distant and detached, has become our closest friend and guide. We hope it may be so for you as well. And then we make sure that they have a copy of the literature, and that's also contained on the Two-Way Prayer website. Leader goes on to say, our meetings last for 60 to 75 minutes. We share portions of our two-way prayer journals with the group. All sharing is completely voluntary and confidential. We ask for this to be respected by one and all. Then there's an explanation of how we're going to do this for the newcomer. If you've been meeting regularly, we just skip this part. But here's the explanation. During the opening round, sharing is limited to those who brought their two-way prayer journals and wish to read from them. So you're only going to get to share in this group if you have brought your journal, if you have an entry from the week that you want to share with the group. If you don't have an entry, then you can listen and you can join in later, but we're not going to focus on you, all right? While one member is sharing what he or she wrote, we invite you then to write down any thoughts or guidance you may receive while listening to that person's share. We have found that one person's guidance may hold important meaning for others as well. This is known as three-way prayer. So the person shares a selected guidance that they wrote from the week, and we listen and we jot down 3 or 4 things perhaps that really jumped out at us, that impacted us. And then after that person is finished, we go around the group. Is there someone who would like to share what Joe's writing meant for them? And then there's a little set of instructions that are important on that. After a person reads from their journal, we'll then begin a second round for those wishing to share what they wrote down. All are welcome to share during this round, but please, this is the important part, keep your sharing brief and focused on how it relates to you. We do not interpret one another's guidance. Unlike some 12-step groups, we do allow crosstalk during our meetings. However, we try not to take the focus away from the person who is sharing. So that's basically the format that we use. We go around the group. Each person does a share from a writing that they have done during the week and selected. And then we write about how that impacts us, all right, without taking the focus off of them. Each person probably gets, including the shares, 7, 8 minutes, something of that nature. And then when the time is up, we do announcements if we have time, just maybe something that's coming up for the week that people need to mention. And then we close with the Lord's Prayer generally, or we do a prayer that somebody brings to the group. We just started doing that practice. So, these things kind of evolve. So that's the basic format. I know there's other ways of doing it, and we don't have any monopoly on this thing. But people who have kind of stuck to this format, and we've then had people who've been members of our group who have kind of peeled off and then gone ahead and started other groups, so that the process is being extended, because I always get lots of people who want to come and join a group and ask me, can I recommend a group, and I'm not able to do that, but I'm also not able to invite people into this group because it would get overwhelmed in a hurry. So do it other ways. I think the important thing is that everybody's doing his or her two-way prayer. And what I'd like to do now is, after our last two-way prayer meeting this past week, I asked people to stick around for a few minutes. And we have about 10, 12 minutes of reflections on what the meeting has meant to them. So these are members, and I've kind of had an international group. We got people who are in it from Turkey, from United Kingdom, from Israel. It's a very eclectic group with many different addictions, and it's gotten really, really tight. So let me turn it over to them and take a listen to how a two-way prayer group has affected them.
Okay. Hi, Christine. This group, it was a gift to be invited and to be welcomed, and the intimacy and the reverence of the group energy has helped me to open up and be more vulnerable with myself and the group, and the safety of the group and the honesty and the commitment of everyone in the small group has, I think, it's like a team almost. And we show up every week and we're all vulnerable. And we all, I think, help each other to be more vulnerable and for me, it's like a mirror. Everybody's guidance enriches my guidance. So I'm very grateful for the group. Thank you.
Donna?
Yeah, I can say a few words then I'll have to go. So my name is Donna. I was invited into this small, profound group of people that have this commitment and intention for intimacy with themselves, intimacy with their God, and intimacy with each other. And the smallness of that is pervasive amongst us all. And I do believe, for myself, personally speaking, that it is through that intimacy that I am learning trust, trusting in myself, trusting in others, trusting in God, and that all these channels are being open and being revealed through that lens of intimacy and trust. And it grows, it continues to compound in me each time we meet, each time we commune together, each day with this practice of two-way prayer, and in that sharing of these trusted individuals and souls, I expand in my relationship with myself, with my God, and my gratitude is enormous for all of you that choose to show up with this beautiful intention of developing intimacy and trust with God, with each other, for and with each other. I'm very grateful for it. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna. Appreciate it.
Okay, hi, my name's Michaela. I felt guided to this group. And initially I was very interested from the perspective of the focus on step 11, prayer and meditation. And I saw it as a way to, two-way prayer as a way to sort of practice that step. I felt that there was something in recovery that was missing, and I wanted to go deeper. And this has been beyond my wildest dream. This group has taken me, I absolutely adore the fellowship and the sort of meeting with people, but what it's really sort of helped me with, and what I sort of get so much out of, is being way, way, way out of my comfort zone, but in such a gentle, sort of loving way. I feel held by the group. I think the way that we sort of bear witness to ourselves when we're writing and sharing our guidance, that is something I never thought I would do. I love writing. I feel like sometimes I was the writer that never wanted anybody to hear what I'd sort of read, written. But it's taken me way out of my comfort zone, but the rewards have been beyond my wildest dreams. I never imagined that I would be able to feel so vulnerable and loved and held at the same time. So it feels amazing that the group bears witness to the guidance, but also, you know, I feel that I have the opportunity to bear witness to other people's guidance, and it's true fellowship. It's not just spiritual, it's very, 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 very practical, it's very action focused, and my whole attitude has an understanding of life and everything really has changed. I don't feel so helpless, but in a way that is really, really positive. So it's got many, many sort of therapeutic values. It's got many spiritual values, but at the end of the day, it just helps me live my life so much more enjoyably, and helps me to really practice step 11, which is so important, and the four absolutes as well as guidance. I'm sort of like a baby with the four absolutes, but they're so important. So it's really filled a massive hole in my life, and I am so grateful for it, and it's helped me be a more loving person as well. I'm more aware of, you know, what I need to do to sort of continue on my journey. So thank you to everyone. Thank you, Father Bill, you're amazing.
Thanks, Michaela. June, Annabelle, or
I can go, Bill.
Robert, okay.
Yeah, my name is Robert. I've practiced two-way prayer for over a year now, and after committing to the process for 28 days. I was invited to this small group, and we have been together basically for a year now. And I've also started my own group, following the template that I was taught. And in showing up weekly, in asking the honest question, and being able to share the guidance in a safe place, I've been able to develop fellowship with people like I've never done before, develop a relationship out of my understanding, and more importantly, the willingness and the courage to implement on the guidance. And there I have found the benefit of living step 10 and 11, as it's written in the big book, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And I have found now a way to actually live that way by holding myself accountable, turning up weekly, sharing it with others, and keeping this whole process intimate and well-structured. Thank you.
My name is June, and I've been doing meditation and prayer, different formats, for a very long time, and 40 some odd years. And as I look back after being in the group for a year, I feel like I wasn't authentic then. You know, I was doing all kinds of things, praying, spending time talking, and there was a wall, there was a veil, there was something there that separated me from something I didn't know, although I had strong faith in. And I was always looking. In fact, before I even had time to put down roots, I was jumping to something else. But someone called me, a friend. He said, June, I think you'd like Father Bill. And I was glad that we weren't fully exposed on the TV screens, on the Zoom screen, because as I sat there in half my pajamas, I realized, this is for me. And I didn't know what a gift it was. My prayer life has changed. My personal life has changed. My relationships have changed. I have an understanding. I have found what I didn't know I was looking for. And there's an honesty and an integrity here that has encouraged me to grow and encouraged friends to come. Small groups, there's something beyond description when you leave a meeting and you know you've touched heaven. And I am so grateful for the enthusiasm. I've been given the passion again for my life and for others' lives and learning and growing. And it's never over, because forever and ever, I will be grateful for what I have been privileged to be invited to, and I treasure it. Thank you.
I want to thank each of the members for taking the time and sharing with us their experience and what they've gotten out of the two-way prayer process. We've got a beautiful group of people, but you know, the amazing thing is get any group of people together, get them honestly listening to God, get them recording it in a journal, and get them sharing that. And you're gonna find some unbelievably powerful things in the people that that God guides you to. So Anyway, I hope this was helpful to you in understanding at least where I've gone with the two-way prayer practice as far as developing groups. I get requests from people to be referred to a group and or to join a group, and I wish I could do that. I wish I could wish I could start a dozen or 10 dozen groups and give people the experience. But I think God may be asking you to do that. And sometimes I'll send that request to people that, you know, when people came to Frank Bookman and they said to him, Frank, I think you should be doing this. Here's a great idea. And he would always turn back to them and say, no, it is a great idea, but perhaps this is something that God is guiding you to do, and have the courage to go ahead and do it. So when it's time, first do the practice, then find a prayer partner to share with, and then if you're guided, and if it's meant to be, start a group. Love to hear what your experiences have been with this. Please drop me a line at twowayprayer@gmail.com. And in the meanwhile, God bless and keep coming back.